Vandermeer.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409. My 409.
Our local car guy today, John Vandermeer.
Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
Giddy up, 409.
For I knew there would be a time.
Giddy up, 409.
When I would buy a brand new 409.
We had the best music, Bob, didn't we?
It's great. It's great. The Beach Boys. Of course, you had a birthday, and
I asked Mike, you for a Bible,
and Mike and Love instead, just you came gave out me what? With a new book telling his side of the story of the Beach Boys. So you'll have to pass that on to me when you're done.
But my life as a Beach Boy, my Mike Love. He was great on the lyrics, wasn't he?
Yeah, and apparently, you know, the dad of the other Wilson boys didn't want to give him much credit for that. But I saw the interview with him, and it sounds like the book will tell you how he probably was the key guy on the lyrics. Brian Wilson was the great music writer, but he came up with some great lyrics.
It's amazing that I haven't met many guys like myself who can actually write the music and the lyrics and put them together, and they always come out in the form
you
of golf
are
music.
One, we've never questioned the fact that you are one of a kind.
Yes,
this
sir.
This is true.
Thank you. And my name is Bo Mitchell. My co-host you're listening to there is Bob Belts. This program is called You Get the Blessing, and we appreciate that we hear from thousands of you each week as to understanding what we're trying to accomplish on this program, which is to introduce you to wonderful people. And we know that you are being blessed by meeting the folks we have as our guest today. And our guest, speaking of 409, wait a minute. Before I get to that, I want to do another car reference.
Kind of 409 heading down, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to stop just a second and say what at Highline this week is going on, Bob, because I know you're teaching a great series called Route 66.
Yeah, John would be a good guy to, you know, be a part of that. So anyway, we're heading down. What we're doing is going through every book of the Bible a week at a time. So, but we're doing it in the context of heading down old Route 66. So this week, we're actually, our stop is out into Missouri. So we're through the first state, Illinois. But we are, we're going to be looking at the book of Joshua, which is an incredible book that tells the story of the conquest of the land and under Joshua's leadership, and great, probably some well-known stories in there, like the Battle of Jericho. But for a lot of people, they probably don't know the whole story. So we'll go through the whole book of Joshua and 10:30. And hey, we've got people coming every week that are coming up to me and saying, hey, I heard you on the radio show and wanted to come be a part of this. So
Highline Community Church, Route 66 is what Bob's teaching right now. It's an incredible series. It's going to take you completely through the Bible. And if you haven't heard Bob, you're missing it, because he is the smartest man in the world. That's why it makes my job easy as co-host here on You Get the Blessing.
But we got a great guest today.
Yes, we do. Speaking of number 409 by the Beach Boys, our guest is John Vandermeer, founder, owner, godfather of Vandermeer Speedway, and one of the great Christian leaders in this city. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, John,
fun
by the way,
here.
You know, we're creating a Route 66 filling station in the front of our sanctuary. We could really use like a 60 Corvette. You don't happen to have any of those hanging around somewhere, do you?
He's got some, but he ain't giving them to you.
We'll just pull it right into the church building, John.
There you go.
John stuck me in a Camaro in a drag race, and I was up to 100 miles an hour. A little scary. You were trying to hurt me, weren't you, John?
No, I wasn't trying to hurt you, but
I only got a truck. What was the deal?
You know, that's right. That was a long time ago.
Truck.
You showed me how to do it. I actually won a few.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
So John Vandermeer and I today and Bob Belts are going to talk about something that's sad for us, but also had a very good ending. Our dear friend Joe Coors had a stroke during the surgery, and never really recovered from the stroke. He fought for 11 weeks. His wife, Gail, beautifully orchestrated all of the details of the battle he was involved in at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And his perfect healing came in the form of death. And we want to pay tribute to Joe today just by spending this program talking about Joe Coors and his life. But he was one of the best friends I've ever had in my life, and he was probably one of your best friends too, wasn't he, John?
Yes, he was. Absolutely. Yep.
And the best part, I guess, I'll ask Bob just to start the discussion by describing when we die as a Christian, we really do pass from life to life, correct?
Yes, and I would say, you know, one of the great events in the life of Jesus that, you know, takes place when one of his buddies died, takes place, it's recorded in John chapter 11, and he had a very dear friend by the name of Lazarus who not only died, but in order to prove what he was going to say, Jesus sort of lingered and allowed that to happen. And when he came to the tomb, you know, the sisters of Lazarus were really upset and said, hey, you know, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And then Jesus makes the great statement, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he does die, and he who lives and believes in me will never really die. So, you know, that's one of the great just biblical statements on, you know, that when you have a relationship with Christ, although you physically die, you never really die, because instantly the scriptures teach us that the real you, that part of you that exists with, you know, apart from a body, instantly goes to be with Christ, and that there's never death in the sense of, you know, being eternally separated from God, or just, you know, dying and nothing happening. I mean, it's really is a passing into a whole new dimension of reality.
So I don't want it to sound like a cute or peculiar cliche when I say this, but Joe's perfect healing truly did come in the form of death, along the same lines of what Bob just said. Mm-hmm. So John, let's spend some time going through Joe Coors and his life. Maybe start, just throw a word out that comes to mind when you think about Joe, and we'll all talk about it a little bit. What are some of the things that come to mind when you think of our friend Joe Coors?
Well, the very first thing that comes to my mind is the name of his foundation, Out of the Box. Joe Coors was out of the box, and he was very special. I had the opportunity to sit in the whirlpool, or the hot tub, I guess, with him.
One of his favorite
things. One of his favorite pastimes of the day. He claimed that that's where he got most of his ideas and most of his thoughts.
I always said he was overheated a little bit when these epiphanies would come to him in the hot tub.
But exactly.
Just kidding.
No, just kind of an interesting story about Joe. We were on the Fellowship of Christian Athletes board, state board, and a gentleman came in and shared about, you better get your estates in order. And Joe had been thinking about that, and so had I. And a lot of people don't realize it, but when his father passed away, there wasn't a lot of planning, and it became a kind of a tough deal for the family. And so he decided that he was going to do that. And so I said, well, you go first, and then I'll see what happens. And he did. And so then he met with Lorraine and I and shared with us what it was all about. Well, I didn't want him to tell Lorraine how much money it cost to put this all together, you know, because then she'd say, no, we can't do that. But anyway, he did a very great job, and we both got our estates put in order. And what's really cool is that, you know, Joe is with the Lord, but his family is taken care of. Good. Not only is his family taken care of, but you know something, I will guarantee you that they're not paying a lot of money in taxes, because in order to be able to do that, you have to give it away. And he was faithful in doing that.
And one of the ways he was out of the box was his creativity and aggressiveness in giving. And he was a giver, you're right.
Well, you'd appreciate this. I asked him one day, I said, Joe, when is enough enough? Just a little bit more.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
Just a little
and then
bit
after
more.
You get all of his estate planning done, Joe, when is enough enough? John, I had no idea I had so much to give away.
Good.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, speaking of that now, so the word competitor popped into my mind when you said just a little bit more. But talk about this a little bit, Bob, because in terms of planning his estate and planning his life, he kept referring to anticipating in anticipation of my relocation, mm-hmm. which I've never heard, but that's a pretty good way to describe it, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, Paul, again, there's a number of passages that really talk about what happened when we die, particularly for those, again, that have relationship, you know, with Christ like Joe did. And in one of them, he makes a statement that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so that's the relocation process again, that when, you know, the body dies, again, the soul and spirit, you know, they relocate, and are instantly in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Bob and I talk about this a lot. In fact, if you're looking for a church where you feel welcome, and you'll be comfortable and really learn the Bible, but do it in a joyful way, I again recommend Highline Community Church, where Bob's a senior pastor. I don't think we said Highline's located. You go off I-25 on Orchard, and then it's just south of the old Shepler's building that was there forever. Mm-hmm. You'll see the sign on the side of the building. But one of the reasons that church is so wonderful and successful and Bob's so good at what he does is, I think we've said since we paired up, Bob, that we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take Christ and the things of his kingdom seriously. And that was Joe Coors to the letter. I mean, yes. This guy loved putting on his duck outfit and going out to the golf course and entertaining people by just letting everybody know, I don't take myself too seriously, so please accept me just as one of the guys, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He had great integrity. You asked me to put a couple words down, but he was also really compassionate, a lot more compassionate than maybe people would think. You know, when you're in that kind of a family situation, sometimes it's a deal to where, you know, you always have to be putting on the dog. Hmm. He didn't like that.
He never did it.
No.
He wasn't going to play.
No, exactly.
And yet it was astounding to me to watch Gail and Joe recently, just however many years they go for, when he ran for Congress, because twice a day they had, what would you call it, events that they had to attend, and he would be speaking at, and Gail would be there gripping and grinning for hours. And they did it just unbelievably well, graciously, well-spoken each time he took the mic. Friendly, even when someone tried to criticizing, say something harmful to him or the Coors family, he would just occasionally say, yeah, that's kind of funny the way you put that. I like that. But had that good sense of humor, too.
That was what I was going to say. A lot of people didn't realize the sense of humor that he really had.
Well, unless you saw him walk in the house to Bo's Christmas party and looked at the pants he was wearing. And then, of course, instantly you would know this guy either has a sense of humor or he's a little bit out there.
So, he was easy to shop for because I could just go into a store and say, show me the wildest shirt or the wildest color combination you got on a pair of pants. And that's what I'm getting for Joe. And he'd wear it with pride, wouldn't he, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'll always be one of my images the minute his name comes up, to seeing him at those Christmas parties. So,
big red shirt with pants that were red, yellow, green polka dots everywhere. But again, just his way of kind of laughing at himself and saying, don't put me up on a pedestal because I don't belong there. If you want to put somebody on a pedestal, put Christ there. What else you got, Bandy?
I'm just excited about the fact that Joe knew Christ as his Savior, and that we already have discussed that. But he was not backwards about that at all, in any way at all. We have a Bible study on at the racetrack each week, and he was a part of that. He was one of the original with Kelly McGregor and others that started that. And it was interesting, as days went on, he would say to me, well, how many are at the Bible study now? And I said, well, we had 19. And he says, that's too many. And he liked it to be a little more intimate. Mm. And I appreciated that. Mm. So we would get together and have lunch. And it was fun to, it was really fun to just sit and have lunch with him and visit. Yeah. because let me just tell you.
I missed that already, by the way.
I do, too. I'll tell you a story.
Peppermint ice cream pie.
Yep.
At his favorite spot. We'd start with that.
Sliders.
Oh, yeah. Or chicken quesadilla.
I was fortunate enough to have a little personal board, and he was on that board. And I shared some things that I really needed to have some help on, and we spent quite a bit of time. We had several meetings, and this is what I will remember, Joe, forever. We would get together, have lunch, and he'd start asking me questions about things that we had talked about 3 years ago. And he remembered almost word perfect what was talked about. But while we were having the meeting, you'd swear he wasn't there.
But he was there.
He was always there. And he knew exactly what you were talking about, and his mind was way off. And I remember one time when we had a situation, and he said, "I want to see you after the meeting." And I was, okay. I thought I was in trouble, but I wasn't in trouble at all. He just simply wanted to offer me some advice as to what he thought really was the way to go. And he just didn't want to share it in front of everybody because he didn't want them to think he was, you know, trying to push me in one direction or another. But I will miss that a lot. He was, I told Lorraine, I thought Joe, I don't know how to say this, was somewhat mysterious at some times. Not that he was, you know, odd or anything, but he just had his own way of being able to do things. And I went one time to his house after he'd had some other surgery and the Broncos were playing. That was an experience.
Screaming at the TV set.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He had his opinions as a armchair quarterback.
Oh, my
whether
goodness.
It was football, basketball, baseball, golf, and he'd voice them.
He invited me one time to sit on the floor at the Nuggets. And
courtside?
Oh, my goodness.
You don't mean like out on the
No, I mean, yeah, courtside.
Courtside seats.
And that was a wonderful experience.
So this is John Bandemer's voice you're hearing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Bob Belts is my co-host. The program is You Get the Blessing. And Bandy is our guest today, but we're highlighting the life of Joe Coors and just talking about different things that we loved about Joe.
Mm.
Bob, you and I have an interesting history because I really was looking for the best Bible teacher in the world, and a mutual friend said, he's right here in Denver.
That was available in the price range you were willing to pay.
No,
is that right?
No. don't say that. You were the best and still are. But from the start, even though you told me you didn't have time for a friendship.
No, tell them the truth.
Oh, yeah. I was a little busy at the time and said, Bob, we're going to do some
this
work
This is the
together.
first day we've met, by the way.
Okay. So we're going to do some work together, but I really don't have time for any more friends. And Bobby becomes one of my best lifelong friends. But it's what happens in friendship is you meet my needs, I meet your needs, we have things in common, and that's kind of where you build from, isn't it?
Yeah, you bet. Sure.
And it's worked for us. And it worked for all of us with Joe Coors because he was not only a giver, but he cared. So that's why his brain would be clicking on, is this something I can help with? And he would step forward with out-of-the-box unique ideas on how to help and surprise you from time to time with how aggressive he could be
absolutely.
As a helper. Those of you who don't know, there are five brothers Joe, Jeff, John,
Andrew, or I
Pete
mean,
and Grover.
No, John. John and Grover.
Joe, Jeff, John,
Pete.
Pete and
Pete,
Grover.
Pete, there you go.
And Joe had a huge role at Coors Tech as CEO, chairman, retired from there a few years ago. Very successful. And not only survived by his wife, Gail, but his sons, Brad and Doug, and his daughters, Holly and Darden, and I think 9 grandchildren that he loved dearly, even though one of the ways he expressed love was if you made him be tough, he could do it. If you pushed him to the tough zone, he could step in there, couldn't he?
Yes, he could.
Yeah, like I say, he was an incredible coach. So I don't want to say all of our friendship was flowers and fluff, because it wasn't.
No.
He would... be, no. Bo, that makes no sense to me what you're doing there. Explain it again or don't do it type thing. And I liked that, didn't you?
Absolutely. I can still remember. John, I think that's a good idea, but it's not for me. I'm not interested.
Really?
We just left. Yeah. And that was fine. At least you knew where he stood. You know what? You always knew where he stood. I like that.
A quick no is sometimes the second best answer.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise you're sitting around saying, well, I wonder if he's really interested or not.
Yeah, he wasn't a shoot the breeze guy. I can remember another time when he did some of that. I thought we were playing quite well as partners in a tournament out in Palm Springs. But Joe was constantly demanding more of himself, really, but everybody else too. And I was like, Joe, I think we're doing all right here. No, we stink. Well, let's stick with it and let's see what happens. And he made another putt, and then he made another putt and finished strong. And we got back to where we were staying. I went up to take a nap and thinking, you know, we'd stunk because that's the way he defined it. And pretty soon I hear him screaming out, Dudley, Dudley, waking me up because the pro shop had called and said, you guys finished second and won a lot of money. Come get it. But he demanded that, and I like that. I like the fact that he was so competitive, friendly about it, but let's just do our best. Let's bear down here and do our best.
He invited me to play in the Colorado Rockies golf tournament one year at Fox Hollow. Nobody ever said anything that was how much it cost to play until I got there. And I can't remember how much it was, but I got my credit card out. Well, then they said, by the way, you know, if you pay another $100, you can get into this deal for be a Rocky for the day. So I said, all right, as long as I'm spending the money, I might as well put that in there too. And I won that. And he was so excited to bring that by to me. And it was amazing.
He had, in terms of integrity, he did have this sense that this needs to be exactly right and exactly fair. So I can remember raking a 3-4 inch putt one time at Rolling Hills, just put it up right next to the hole and pick the ball. Oh, I know what it was. It was an opponent of ours. I hit the ball back to him, said, that's good. And Joe just kind of quietly walked over and says, don't do that anymore. It's got to go in the hole. This is a tournament. And I was like, oh, sorry. I didn't know we were in the U.S. Open. But for him, that was a sense of thoroughness and fairness. And
yep. You guys both knew Joe, obviously, much better than I did. But I'm just curious, was there sort of a turning point in his life where, you know, in terms of his spiritual commitment, or was that something that he'd, you know, had growing up? Do you know the background on that at all? And what made him so stout in his spiritual life?
I think he threw a golf club on a golf course in San Diego, like slung it in the air. I may have this a little bit wrong. Correct me if I do, John, and took the Lord's name in vain and heard a voice say, kind of like Saul, heard a voice say, hey, that's me you're talking about, pal, and I can offer you more than that. That's definitely not right. But he made a commitment to Christ. I think he went straight to a church and got baptized and went straight home and told Gail, hey, here's what's happened to me.
And that was in his adult life then?
Yeah. Well, okay. Young adult life, yes. Okay. And then I would say this on his faith. What I noticed was study of the scripture. He seemed to always be reading the word.
Yes.
But he was a devoted member at Cherry Hills Community Church. Loved. He always said, I want to be doing whatever God's doing. So when he was picking charities to give to or get involved with,
yes,
he wanted it to be a God deal. And so that's why he loved you, Bob, loved Jim Dixon, Jim's wife, Barb. And really, that's who he wanted to be around. That's who he wanted to be helping. And that's who he did help.
I had shared this with him, and I'll share it with you. It's Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And I believe that was really something that Joe and I talked about a lot. In other words, we plan we're going to do this and that and the other thing, but you know what? We really want to do what the Lord wants, because it's going to be that way anyway at the end of the day. Sometimes God delivers us from our problems. Sometimes God delivers us through our problems. And Joe and I've talked about that many times. He would always say, I don't know if I'm really living up to what it is. And the answer is, Joe, you know, none of us are. But remember the one thing, we don't live in the house we live in the house of grace. And grace is a hard thing to understand because it's unmerited favor. And a lot of times we don't realize how that is. And I think sometimes he struggled with that. Put yourself in this position. My buddy Joe was a person that everybody knew, the Coors family. And he always, it was very interesting, you know, he never worked at the brewery, never did. And he couldn't because they wouldn't let him work at the brewery because he got married while he was in college and not supposed to do that, according to the family. And I understand that. But the other side of it is that he always, I think it, our friendship and the things that we did together, and when I shared with people about him, they'd say, oh, you know him? Yeah, I know him very well. He must really be it's hard to be around somebody that's got funds and et cetera. I says, no, I don't ever want anything from him. I just want his love and his friendship. And that was what made it so neat. It was a beautiful time together.
Same with me. And I can say as we close the program that we're going to miss him. Amen. In all kinds of ways. The participation at church, the golf, the lunches, the time with our wives. But, you know, I'll even miss calling up late at night, too late maybe, watching a ball game, knowing he was watching it, and the answer on the phone would be, what? Be like, what? How about, hi, Bo, how's your evening going? But I knew what he was saying was, what's this team doing, and why do we stink, and why are you calling me at 9:25? Anyway, I'm going to miss Joe Coors. Gale, Holly, Darden, Doug, Brad.
I love you.
Unbelievable. Pardon?
We love them all.
Yeah, we love you. And those in your community that didn't know Joe Coors, just know we lost one of the all-time greats when he passed. But he did pass from life to life, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
And he's in a better place. His perfect healing came in the form of death. So he made the right decision before he got so sick. And that decision was to receive Jesus Christ. So, Joe, nice going. We love you.
Yeah.
We miss you. And thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing today.
Find my 409. She's real fine. My 409. My 409.